Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we're going to meditate on Psalm 23. And we just heard it read, we spoke it together, and it's a psalm that most of us are familiar with, even if we can't name it as Psalm 23. It's one we hear read often, we hear referenced often, and quite a few of us, I imagine, could actually recite it by heart. Most of us could get pretty close. But Psalm 23, it's more than just the most famous psalm in the Bible. It is probably the most famous and most memorized piece of poetry ever written. I hadn't thought about that until just a few days ago. But Psalm 23, it's more than just feel-good poetry. It's more than just beautiful words. Psalm 23, at its core, is a promise. Psalm 23 is God's promise to his people. But when we speak it, it's a confession of faith, a confession of our trust in our God and what we trust him to do for us. So I'm going to read it one more time. And just take a moment, meditate on these words, do what you need to do to really focus in, close your eyes, and let's just listen. What do these words mean in our life? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those words are powerful, and they are beautiful. But I want us to notice something about Psalm 23. It's all about what God does for us. He leads us. He comforts us. He defends us. He anoints us. He prepares a table for us. It is God's action for us. Now, there is some response in Psalm 23. The response is that because of all this, we will not fear. We will not want. We will follow, so to speak. But this trust, it's a product of God's faithfulness. Psalm 23 is a psalm of God's action for us. Now, I do think a key to really understanding the gist of this psalm and what it means in our lives is understanding the context in which it was written. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, Psalm 23 was written by King David. Now, we don't talk about David all that much in church, but we probably remember quite a bit about him from our Sunday school days because there is quite a bit written about him in God's Word. And David essentially was the king of Israel who reigned during their peak of power, the most powerful the kingdom of Israel ever got, and likely the most powerful on a global scale they ever will be. David ruled during a high point for God's people, at least a high point, worldly speaking. But something we need to realize about David is there were a lot of valleys along the way for him. Let's just kind of recall some of the stories of David and some of the things he went through in his time before he was king and as king. First of all, he was the youngest of a shepherd family. And as a child, he shepherded. As a young man, he was tasked with defending those sheep. And God's word even tells us that he fought off lions and wolves in defense of those sheep. As a boy, he went through this. And then, also as a boy, his older brothers are passed over by Samuel, and David is anointed to be the next king of Israel, the Lord's chosen. Quite a responsibility on a young man's shoulders. And then he fights Goliath. He stands in faith when no one else would, and he triumphs. Later, he becomes a military commander, even before he is king, fighting God's battles. And soon, because of all of this, he becomes the object of envy of King Saul, the anointed one coming, the one beloved by the people, the one who can stand against the giant. And so Saul, he seeks to kill him. He seeks to find David and end this threat to his rule. And David is on the run for years, tempted by pride, tempted by vengeance. And through all of it, David persists. The Lord shepherds him through those valleys. And then he becomes king. And it's a prosperous kingdom. You'd think his troubles would be over then. But as we know, they weren't. He continued to fight battles against those outside the kingdom. But even worse, he fought battles with those within. His own son, Absalom, tried to take his throne and was willing to kill him in the process. And more than that, David fought temptation and pride. We know he fell into adultery. He took another man's wife, and to hide the sin, he killed that man. He had to be called out by God's prophet Nathan, called to repentance, and there were punishments for that sin. David lost an innocent child, and he also lost his child Absalom, who wasn't innocent. And at the end of it all, David died like everyone else. I think the key here is David was a man with great highs and great lows in his life, great peaks, but the valleys were still there. Now, while our experiences certainly are not the same as King David's, none of us are probably ever going to be king of anything, and we almost certainly are not going to have to fight a giant, and I hope none of our children ever try and kill us. But we can relate with David. We can relate with the highs and the lows, the great challenges in life, the good years and the bad years, and we can relate with the valley of the shadow of death. You see, the great lows in life, that is the valley of the shadow of death. And we all know them. The valley of the shadow of death, as spoken to in Psalm 23, that is things like mental illness. The valley of the shadow of death is things like watching loved ones grow ill and die. The valley of the shadow of death is chronic pain. The valley of the shadow of death is addiction. It's broken marriages and families. It's watching our nation tear itself apart. It's watching the church and God's word fall out of favor in public perception. The valley of the shadow of death is the evil that surrounds us, the enemies, both physical and spiritual, the ones that sometimes sit at our own table. The valley of the shadow of death is coming to grips with our own mortality, recognizing that life is short. I think maybe most of all, the valley of the shadow of death is seeing sin for what it is, seeing it in our lives, seeing it in the lives of others, seeing it in the world around us, and seeing how much it breaks everything from what it should be. We all know the valley of the shadow of death. We all know it because we walk in it every day. It is the space we exist in. I guess the real question in Psalm 23 is, what is one to do while in the valley? How is one to sustain themselves? How is one to not get lost? Most of all, how is one to get out of the valley of the shadow of death? But actually, as I say that, I realize I'm asking the wrong questions. We should not be asking, how should I, or how can we get out or sustain ourselves? I think it's that kind of self-reliance that probably got us lost in the first place. The real question we as Christians need to be asking ourselves is, who? Who can sustain us? Who can guide us? Who can protect us? And most importantly, who can lead us out of this valley in the shadow of death? The truth is, we need a shepherd. We need a guide. We need a sustainer. We need a protector. Because life is hard. Even King David, one of the most powerful men in the world, knew this. That he needed a shepherd. You see, a shepherd is the one who meets us in the valley, who meets us in the midst of the chaos and discombobulation and brokenness. The shepherd is the one who sees us, who sees us as the valuable creation we are, rather than the mess we find ourselves in. The shepherd sees us not as what we are, but what we can be, what God can create in us. The shepherd is the one who provides for us, who in the midst of a valley surrounded by death finds green pastures and still waters and restores our soul. The one who guards us by night. The Lord is our shepherd. So these promises in Psalm 23, and they are promises. How do we receive them? How are we to receive this rest and restoration and protection? Well, as I said, Psalm 23 is a confession of trust, a confession of faith, and that is, as always, the key. Trusting our shepherd, or in other terms, allowing ourselves to be shepherded. You see, sheep, they don't do anything to earn the shepherd. They don't pay the shepherd. They don't deserve the shepherd. The shepherd is simply assigned to them. He is there. The sheep can't go find the shepherd. Instead, what the sheep can do is only one thing, and that's not follow the shepherd. And it is when the sheep aren't following the shepherd that they get lost, that they find themselves trapped, that they find themselves in danger, that they find themselves at the mercy of the enemy. It is when the sheep are separated from the flock, and more importantly, the shepherd, that they are in the most danger. The truth is, we must allow ourselves to be shepherded. You can't receive the safety of the flock in the direction of the shepherd without first associating yourself with that shepherd. You see, the promises in Psalm 23, they are absolutely 100% true. But faith is necessary to receive them. Trust. We need to allow our shepherd to guide us. Now, I get it. We all stray. We all wander away, either just out of earshot of the shepherd or far away where we get ourselves stuck and lost and at the mercy of the enemy. King David was no different. He too strayed. We all stray. We all have been there. We all are there in a way right now, struggling to follow the shepherd's path. But I want to point something out. We're all here this morning, either in person or watching online. We are all here to hear the voice of the shepherd, to hear his word, to confess our trust in our God. And there's a reason we're still here. Because when we strayed, our shepherd came and got us. By whatever means he did it in our lives, by however many times he had to do it for us, he came and found us, and he brought us back to a place where we once again listened to his voice and his way. This is what our shepherd does. He goes to get lost sheep like us, which we all are. He does what is necessary to come get us in the valley, to find us, to meet us where we are, to see us. And in fact, this is why we trust in him. Psalm 23, it's a psalm of trust. And as David was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words, he trusted them. He trusted that despite all the highs and lows, despite all the valleys he lived in, his God had a plan for him, to sustain him, to guide him, to protect him, and that his God had a place for him forever. But I imagine, even as David wrote these words, he didn't understand exactly how God would do it. I imagine that even as David trusted in these words, he didn't understand how God would lead him and all of his people out of that valley. In fact, no one understood it until God revealed it. Until Jesus revealed it in our gospel lesson today, where he said, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." You see, Jesus made it pretty clear for us. The good shepherd is not some hired hand. He is not there for money or for self-service. The good shepherd cares only for the sheep. And when the danger comes, when the enemy comes, the good shepherd does not flee for his own safety. Instead, he goes in front of the sheep. He meets it head on. And if necessary, he lays down his life for the sheep, for those who cannot defend themselves. The good shepherd is willing to die for the sheep, all because they are his, because in his eyes they are valuable, because they are loved. Jesus Christ is our shepherd, and he did lay down his life for us. He could have fled the danger, but he didn't. And all of it he did for only one reason, because he loved us, because he loved his people, and there was a danger of sin and death in the grave, the greatest valley in the shadow of death, and he needed to provide a way for us to get out. And so he died for us. You see, every promise in Psalm 23, Jesus is the fulfillment of. Jesus is the fulfillment of every one of God's promises in this psalm written 3,000 years ago. He is our shepherd. You see, Jesus is our shepherd because he fulfills every one of these promises. He's the reason we need not want, because he cares for all our needs. Jesus is the one who gives us rest in green pastures. Jesus is the one who sustains us near still waters. He is the one who gives us his word to guide us on paths of righteousness and safety. Jesus is the one who restores our souls with grace and mercy. He is the one who protects us on our journey through life. He is the one who protects us in the valley. And when enemies assail us, he is there to comfort us and to protect us. He prepares a table for us. He feeds us in the midst of the danger. And he anoints us as his own. He calls us his own in the waters of holy baptism, chosen. And he gives us so much more than we need. Our cups certainly overflow. But most importantly, he died for us. He died for us to provide a way out. He died for us so that goodness and mercy could follow us all the days of our life. He died for us so that there would always be a place in our Father's house for us. All this is why Jesus is our shepherd. It's what he does. It is why we trust him forever. Amen.